B-Pod Studios.
They've got the insiders.
Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. No Toucher and Rich, the Hoosier Caddy Classic underway. Just began over at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. I love Brook Meadow Country Club. I mentioned my old show years ago, which Billy Lanny was my producer for. I was telling Ted this off the air. The old Zone days. But Brook Meadow Country Club, one of my sponsors. They backed the Sports Blast years ago with Joey Murray. And I mentioned to Ted, Billy Lanny was my first producer ever. And here he is this morning with us right here on 98.5 The Sports.
You guys are now, you know, probably the most popular, sports station in the country. Now.
Right.
Look at you now.
And Billy now gets to do a little hosting gigs on the weekend. Now,
I know. I've heard that. I know.
He's been quiet today, though.
The more you can do.
It's early. It's this morning shift takes a little getting used to.
This next thing we can get you into. But this caller says Joe's a fraud, so let's hear it. What's up, Rich?
Joe, I cannot believe that you're even contemplating throwing up this Ben Simmons thing. You know that as soon as he would come to Boston, and the first game that we lose because he gets passed at the end of the game and misses free throws, we would go ballistic. There's no way. Like, you would go ballistic. You're making this take now, but you can plan about this in 6 months. Please just don't do this to us.
All right.
As much as Ben Simmons is a great defensive player and a great playmaker, offensively in Boston, we want our players to be productive offensively. Lonzo Ball, I would be much more in for that than Ben Simmons.
Hey, Rich, can I tell you something, bud? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You're right.
What?
you're absolutely right. Hey. I would. I'd be pissed that they got fouled late in the game and my call screener is frozen, Billy, if you could help me out there with that. But he's right, if you want to drop him. Yeah, I would be upset when he got fouled late in the game and missed free throws, and I'd get all over it.
You know what? Could Ben Simmons handle it here? I think you got to really, when you're thinking about players, and we just throw out players and, like, hey, could, you know, come here and he'd be a good fit on the court, you have to take in the mental makeup. Mm. How does this guy handle criticism? Is he really sensitive? Those are all things in the person's makeup, the player's makeup, you have to consider when you're a team in Boston and you're thinking about bringing a guy in.
Well, you know what?
I don't think he can handle it here. It's just too much.
Well, know what I didn't mention?
How many guys have come here? Sorry, Joe.
No, go ahead.
Basketball players that don't, the pressure, the microscope that that they're put under, they hate that. And it really, I think, affects how they feel about playing here.
Yeah, like Garnett's level intensified when he came here.
But Garnett was the guy that he loved it.
Yeah.
Those are the rare athletes. I don't think today's athlete is wired like Kevin Garnett. It's a different type of athlete.
Yeah, like Isaiah Thomas, believe it or not, whatever he was, you want to call him. I mean, he was, sixth man of the year. But you know, when he came to Boston, he thrived. I mean, he really did.
Because he was the underdog, and we all pulled for him.
So I will say there are certain...
He hadn't accomplished anything yet.
I think baseball, though, and crossing sports, there have been... there are so many examples of guys who come to the Red Sox and couldn't
perform. And melt.
Edgar
Renteria.
Carl Crawford. I mean, there was these guys, Adrian Gonzalez had decent years here, but... Yeah, Edgar Renteria is a perfect example. Guy, well, I mean, he made...
He came from Atlanta, right? I think he was with the Braves.
St. Louis, right? Yeah, St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. He went to the Braves maybe after here.
Yeah, and he thrived.
Right, because...
Like John Smoltz
came
here.
Because it was Atlanta.
John Smoltz came here. The end of his career. Ended up leaving, going back and actually did well after. I mean, Wade Miley is another guy that just threw a no-hitter this year and was here. But there are guys that have come here.
JD Drew.
I'm just bringing up names.
Don't even. Why? Real quick, word association. JD Drew. I always think of... JD Drew has a back issue. He's not playing today. How many times?
Oh, he was the softest player. And don't get me wrong.
The softest player ever.
I got to tell you this, though. That grand slam that he hit in the World Series, though. Whatever.
Well, that was nice.
That's the thing. Like, Daisuke Matsuzaka. Like, You know, these guys have one great Derek Lowe. One, you know, had a bad year, but you know that great playoff run. That's what you think about. Bobby Kilty had one at bat in the World Series for a home run or whatever. That's all you remember. You know?
Totally random. You bring up Derek Lowe. We ever see a pitcher like him again in the Major League Baseball? In this, like, he was a sinker ball, right? Everything went down. So it was all pitching for contact. You don't see pitchers
that did
pitching.
Everything. Started middle relief and then closer.
Right. It'd be nice to see a Derek Lowe type pitcher.
Great golfer, from what I heard, too.
All those guys are. Kidding me? But I just think you got to factor in all of that stuff when you're talking about bringing in a star player who's got confidence issues. This maybe isn't the best place for that guy to thrive. Do you know what I mean?
One more here. Vic's in Virginia. What's up, Vic?
Hey, I think it was smart for the Celtics to get rid of Kemba now, being the Todd Gurley of the NBA. I don't see him making it through the full season next year, and then you're just stuck with it. So I think it was smart to get rid of him. Do you think Marcus Smart was Brad's voice? Was Brad telling Marcus Smart to say stuff for him, and that's why locker room got a little dysfunctional?
Ooh, remember him and Brown got into it, too? That was a good point. And I like it. What's your comparison? I see it on the screen here.
And then I think Ben Simmons will be good. The talent is there. I just don't think – I mean, the shooting, we don't need him to shoot.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Mike. He said that Kemba was the Todd Gurley of the NBA, which – I mean, Kemba was outstanding. Yeah, I guess two guys there.
There's
Todd Gurley did hurt his ACL recently, and
yeah, that's an interesting comp. But to get to Marcus Smart in the Jared Weiss article in the Atlantic,
yeah,
athletic. Go ahead. What was going on behind the scenes with Marcus Smart? So it's basically the main players in this article that Jared Weiss talks about what was going on, the dysfunction with the Celtics. Last year, Kemba Walker, Brad Stevens, Marcus Smart. Those are the main three players in this article. And you're talking about this trade with Al Horford coming here and what it means for this team for 2021. It raises another question of what this means for Marcus Smart, currently the team's starting point guard. He and Horford built a culture of defensive accountability that held up in 2020 before falling apart in 2021. Team sources suggest Smart was alone in trying to establish that accountability last season, with teammates often tuning him out. It reached a boiling point when he and Jaylen Brown were involved in a heated confrontation after Game 2 of the 2020 Eastern Conference Finals, as reported by The Athletic's Shams Charania.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcus Smart became Brad's teacher's pet, it sounds like, according to this article. Brad was upsetting Kemba by being too hard on him and maybe showing too much love to Marcus Smart. And he basically is talking about maybe Marcus Smart and Jaylen not being on the same page in 2020. And basically guys have tuned Marcus Smart out on that team. So who's still on the team? So Marcus Smart is still here and Brad Stevens is still here.
Don't forget when the Ainge was here, they always, and even Stevens, they always lumped Smart in with Jaylen and Jason Tatum. Like when they mentioned the two and Marcus. I know he was the number 6 overall pick, and he was a lottery pick, and I don't think he's ever lived up to it. He's a Celtic. Don't get me wrong. Guy bleeds green, you know. But his contract this year at $14 million in the final year of his deal, I don't see the value that there once was for that guy. And the big question is going to be, if there really are changes for this team, is Marcus Smart the guy that they need to move on from? That's going to be one of the biggest things when it comes to Brad Stevens. We'll certainly get more into this this Athletic article. It shows a lot of turmoil in the in a big week in the NBA in general, with all the coaching moves and all the big upsets that have happened and everyone who lost money over the last couple of days here. But we wanted to do a bit here. I call it Ted's Met, and we'll take a look at some of the famous people that Ted has met and the stories that he has shared in this bit we're going to call Ted's Met. All right, we have a list here.
I don't know how you want to do this. I can't tell every story to every person I have on there.
Okay, so I'm going to share some of them that you've already told me you've met.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You dropped a Billy Corgan on me recently.
Yep. You like that story.
So Billy.
To me,
So Billy's going to jump in here. Ted said that he met Billy Corgan at a Smashing Pumpkins concert.
I did at the Wang Theater many, many years ago, probably 15.
Who were you with at the time?
I was with Chris Nowinski.
Chris Nowinski, former wrestler, as well. And Ted just goes to the after party with Chris Nowinski.
We went backstage after the concert.
He's wearing a robe with nothing else on.
Right.
Eating a big salad.
A huge bowl of salad.
That's awesome.
And what was the story? What was the story that Billy Corgan wanted to tell you about?
He was talking about his relationship with Courtney Love and the love triangle that he was involved in with Courtney Love and
Kurt Cobain.
That's awesome.
And so to look it up,
Billy Corgan wrote Hole's whole second album. I believe.
Second album.
And the Celebrity Kurt Skin
wrote,
album.
Basically wrote the first album.
Right.
And come to find out, though, the reason why Courtney went with Kurt is because Billy wouldn't pay for her travel.
He's cheap.
He's just frugal. He wouldn't pay for her travel.
I guess.
But wait, like, so because this is, she wouldn't do that is why she started dating Kurt Cobain?
Exactly.
Amazing.
Literally. And so, Ted, what year was this that you met Billy Corgan?
Probably 2006, 7.
Okay. I looked it up. I got to do some research after I hear about this. Billy Corgan and Courtney Love rekindled their relationship in 2006 and 2007. So Ted may have been
the matchmaker,
like in the middle of the Courtney. We're stirring it back up. You know, there was a love triangle years ago, and Ted might have been maybe a part of the advice. Maybe
I don't know. I wasn't a part of any advice. I was just there to listen to his willingness to share details. And I'll be honest, some of the details are a little foggy. But Billy Corgan. Big fan. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Treated Chris and I like we were the only people he wanted to talk to backstage after the concert. He kicked everyone out. It was great.
So I thought that one floored me when I heard that one day. We just had to stop the show. I was like, whoa, yeah. Wait, what? And then recently he brings up the River Rave days. Because that was our heyday, Billy. I mean, we're 39, 40.
I thought that event was insane, fun. Great time.
The River Rave, they bring all these bands in, generally like rock bands from the 90s or 2000s.
Some big.
Stone Temple Pilots was the headliner, but there'd be other ones like Red Hot Chili Peppers would be there every year.
Marilyn Manson.
Exactly. So big names. And the Patriots are welcomed. This was Foxborough Stadium, if I believe, at the time, right?
Man, me, Bledsoe, Vinatieri. Modeling the new jerseys for that year at the River Rave.
And they let the Patriots on stage with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yep. We went on, I forget what the act, it was a big act in front of us, and then right after us was Stone Temple Pilots, but we got to meet him backstage.
And you hung out with Scott Weiland.
For just a few minutes, Joe. So it wasn't as cool as the Billy Corgan, but nonetheless.
What was he like, hey man, how you doing? That's my last cigarette or anything like that?
No real good stories like that, other than it was just some quick greetings and you guys are awesome. And that was it.
And then you tell me that you've met Pearl Jam and Eddie
Vedder. I met Eddie Vedder. Bangor, Maine, 1996. And it was in late December. It was a crazy story, but Todd Collins, Swamp Chicken, is his nickname. One of my favorite. My favorite teammate of all time, number 59.
Had an interception for a touchdown in the playoffs one year.
Against Marino, slant pass.
Boom.
Marino didn't change his audible from the week before. We played him the week before, and he didn't change it. And Swamp was like, it's a slant! And he took it to the house. But we drove to Bangor, Maine, and we practiced the next day, mind you. It was leading into a bye week. So we was like, let's go to a concert. And we got to go. We went backstage. It's a long story, but I gave Eddie Vedder a ton of like signed autographs stuff. And he gave me a signed shirt and we hung out with Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was in Bangor, Maine backstage. Dennis Rodman, huge Eddie Vedder fan, happened to be there in Bangor, Maine. Got up on stage, put Eddie on his shoulders, and Eddie was singing Alive, the song Alive, on Dennis's shoulders. And it was just a great night, man.
Was Carmen Electra there? Was there?
Dennis had a woman with him, but it wasn't Carmen.
Wow.
Yep. And that was the height of Dennis's powers, too.
And this was So, yeah, this is after.
This was 96.
96. So, he's on the run with the Bulls.
Yep. And he was in Bangor freaking Maine. And whatever arena that is in Bangor, Maine.
You're just with what the hell?
Dude, backstage, it's a crazy story, though. Night. Crazy story. The guy that we were with, some guy that said, Ted, I'll get you backstage. Ted, overpromised and underdelivered. Basically, the manager for the Pearl Jam thought the guy that when we went there, they had no clue we were coming. And we were led to believe that they knew. This guy talked to us. He's like, Ted, you and Todd, come on, man. But the guy that we came with, he made him sit out in the with the fans. But we had to watch the whole concert off to the side, kind of backstage. Uh-huh. And it's a whole crazy story. I met Eddie after the concert, but couldn't have been nicer. Wow. About 5'2", not a very big guy, but a really nice guy.
All right, we have a list of 30 people.
Yeah,
I think we should continue this on the other side. Ted's back. We'll continue this segment coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ted Johnson's here. We're doing a segment called Ted's Met. I don't know. I just came up with that name. We probably could have done better than that.
Big Pearl Jam fan, but none bigger than Michael Felger here at the stadium.
Think so?
And I like
Felger
that
takes his shirt off at the events, from what I hear.
I've been to a concert with Felger back in the day. I think we went to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert. It was in the Seaport. What is that? The arena in the Seaport there. What is that? The auditorium.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah,
Rockland Bank Pavilion.
So we went to a concert there many years ago.
I'd be remiss if we're on the Toucher and Rich program and you mentioned Hootie and the Blowfish.
Is that bad?
And golf.
Right. Oh, there you
Hootie
go.
Would be coming from the sky. That's like their bit, whatever. Like, it's like some sort of golf thing comes on. Here comes Hootie. I bet you.
They're big golfers.
I wonder if there's any Hootie references at the Hoosier Caddy Classic right now. You and me, we come from different worlds. Just I only want to be with you.
Dude, I'm thinking Touch and Rich probably think Hootie and Blowfish are not the best music acts.
I would say no.
If I had a feeling. And I'm a huge Hootie fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
All right, so let's go a little bit more here.
Okay, just for the record again.
Play me the music bit again.
For the record again.
It makes me feel like it's important.
I want people to know this was not my idea. This was
Joe's idea, and if it stinks, that's fine. But I'll knock a few out, and then we'll kind of go to the big ones here. But we're playing Ted's Met.
The bit is basically me telling stories of people I met.
And listen, dropping a Dennis Rodman on me. Like, we didn't know that one was coming. I'm sorry. We have a list.
Nice little wrinkle to that story.
Yep. Shaq wasn't on your list. You met Shaq once. Was that here locally?
That was in Houston.
Was it Houston?
In my old radio show. Great. Great guy.
All right. So, you've met Matthew McConaughey.
I have met Matthew McConaughey in Boston at the old, it's not the old anymore. It's the Ritz. The new Ritz. Remember, there was two Ritz?
Mm.
It was the new Ritz. And I met him at the bar, and he was sitting there. He was having dinner with a couple guys, and I thought, the hell? I got things I want to share with Matthew. I'm going to go up and just start talking to him, and I did.
All right.
And that's first thing people ask me, was he wearing a shirt? Yes, he was. He was wearing a T-shirt.
Was it buttoned?
It was. It was the top three buttons were not buttoned. But a really nice guy, huge University of Texas fan, and I reminded him that he was on the sideline of a UT game when I was at Colorado, and we beat him the last second. He remembered it. Couldn't have been nicer.
Wow. Alan Shepard.
first astronaut in space. The original seven. He was the first man to go up in space in May 1961. From New Hampshire, by the way.
Nick Lakey of, was he 98 Degrees? What was he?
Nick Lachey.
Lakey. Like you never watched Newlyweds.
He was in town for an event. Lachey. He was not with Jessica. But I'll be honest, kind of a dud. He's all right. Hung out with him one night, though.
Oh, you guys went out?
We hung out at this. This was back in a time when I,
you're partying.
Not making good decisions. Yep.
But you and Nick Lachey not making good decisions.
That's a great story. So I walked out of the bar with Nick Lachey.
Walked into the bar with Nick Lachey. Yep. The women probably went a little wild, right? You were with them, and it's like, hey.
Not as much as you would think. I was a little surprised. But.
Joan Cusack.
Yep. Met her at an event. Remember the Best Buddies event?
Yeah.
I think she was friends with a lot of that family, the Kennedys. And, she was interesting.
Jay Moore, who's been in everything.
Jay Moore, hung out with him. He did a comedy bits here. Mm-hmm. And I hung out with him before his act. Great guy.
Was he married to Nikki Cox at the time?
I worry about Jay. Is Jay Moore, is he doing okay? Has anybody heard from Jay Moore?
I think he's okay.
Do you know he got in? Remember he got into radio? He had his own sports talk show. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
He went from
Jerry Maguire
to stand-up to... He hosted a daily national sports talk show, and I just felt like Jay was always on the edge. I worry about Jay. I hope he's okay.
Kevin Nash, who wrestler.
Great guy, man.
Great guy. Big dude. Played basketball at Tennessee State, I think, at one point. Was like part of the NWO.
Big fan of Kevin Nash. He had nice roles in a lot of movies, and Magic Mike. He had a prominent role in Magic Mike, too, I thought.
Lou Ferrigno, would you guys just like look like each other?
Dude, so my first nickname was, Cordell Stewart. First thing when we first met Cordell, when I got to Colorado, was.
Dude's name dropping big Lou
Ferrigno. Well, I'm embarrassed because this is the bit.
That's the bit.
So all I'm doing is dropping names. Lou Ferrigno, and I met Lou a couple times, and I love the guy. You know why? Because the last time I saw him, it was in my show in Houston, and as we're leaving, the one of my favorite, we had this lady that did the weather and news every, Laura Reynolds, every half hour. On the way out, he just does a little squeeze on her behind. Just a little squeeze. Lou just, and I said, look, Laura, she's a little uptight and a little conservative. I was like, own it. Just enjoy, don't make it. And she did. So Lou Ferrigno grabbed the weather lady's butt on the way out. I thought, the nice move, Lou.
I'll just knock a few of these out. Debo.
I was in Miami and he's
Friday.
We're leaving. This was another life for Ted. I'm a different guy. To Delano there in Miami, leaving there, and there he is standing right there. And he looks as scary in person as he does.
No
in the
holds
movies.
Barred. Zeus for the.
How'd you measure up with him? Like, I know he's a big dude, but like eye to eye, was he a big dude?
Yeah. Right. Like, so sometimes the camera. You know, you don't know how big people are because of the camera. They can make him look bigger than they are. That was a big dude.
So I'll just knock you. So Chris Paul, you spent a lot of time in Houston.
Yeah, I had a lunch.
What was your dinner?
I'd rather not give all the details, but I had lunch in Houston a few years ago, and I happened to be there with Jeff Van Gundy, Chris Paul, and a couple other guys, and I'll just leave it at that. Chris was a great guy. Jeff Van Gundy, my absolute
favorite. You've shared the story on
Jeff Van Gundy loved. Oh, did I? Okay, Stidham.
Jared Stidham was there.
It was Jeff Van Gundy loved my Tom Brady stories. He's like, Ted, he had to leave early. He goes, I could listen to your Tom Brady stories.
Can you share a Tom Brady story that maybe you haven't? Like chugging beers. Have you ever chugged beers with Tom Brady?
You know what? Tom was 5 years younger than me, and we didn't hang out socially. I was just getting married.
Not even in 01 or anything like that, or 2000?
Dude, he was the four-string quarterback. We hang out with a four-string quarterback. We didn't hang out. But I got nothing but great things to say about Tom Brady, but nothing right. really that interesting.
Bob Saget, Deontay.
Oh, other than I did give him the recommendation for when he took. He asked me, Ted, where should I take Giselle out? He wanted to impress her. One of the first dates he ever took her out on in Boston.
Whoa. Where'd you mention?
And I recommended a restaurant. Yeah. Can anybody guess what the restaurant was? And he took her there. And so
I'm just say Top of the Hub because that's so cliche.
Nope. It's in right around the Boston Common. It's a place, and I don't know if it's still there. It's called Number 9 Park.
Ooh.
I've never been. And Tom took her there, and so the rest is history, as they say.
Wow. So Brady and Giselle, Billy Corgan, Courtney Love, matchmaker Ted Johnson.
He is just the matchmaker. A couple more here. So Dave Matthews, you've met Dave Matthews.
His first ever open-air concert was at Foxborough Stadium. And thank you, Jonathan Kraft, if you're listening, because you got you got tickets for me, and I got to go backstage and meet Dave. And it was his first ever open air concert. It was probably in 99, 2000.
Bob Saget, Deontay Wilder, Bill Pullman, Liam Hemsworth, and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, they were all promoting a movie. And I asked you, what movie were they all in? Do you know?
Independence Day.
Independence Day 2. And those guys, weird, man. Hollywood's weird.
Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson.
Met him at the 2003 ESPY Awards. It was great. All the captains.
You didn't crash any weddings with them or anything?
Did not. And they were good dudes, man. Just regular guys. Met him at the ESPYs, and that was a really fun event.
The two you circled, Rob O'Neill.
Yep.
Tell us about Rob
greatest,
O'Neill.
Greatest interview I was ever part of. Does anybody out there listening know who Rob O'Neill is? Rob O'Neill, anyone? He was the guy who ultimately shot Osama bin Laden.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
So he
motivational.
He shared his story. One of the first times he's ever spoke about that mission was on our show, and it was totally crazy how we got him on. But after he came on our show and gave our interview, it was at one of the Super Bowls at Radio Row. He went on to do a lot of speaking about it and was basically an outcast and blacklisted for blackball. Excuse me, the Navy SEALs, but because he told a lot of the details of that mission, and a lot of guys didn't like that he did that. But Rob O'Neill, fascinating person. And went step by step how that whole mission played out. And my only reference point when I was asked some questions, what movie was made about that mission? It was Zero Dark. Zero Dark 30.
And finally, Tiger Woods.
Met him when he was an amateur at Stanford at the movie, of all places, of the movie theater. And we were watching the movie. It was the movie Happy Gilmore just came out. And I said, "That's Tiger Woods." And my girlfriend said, "Who?" He was a junior at Stanford, and he was winning a bunch of amateur titles. And I went up, and I chatted him up. And I will say this about Tiger, that socially, a little different, but he warmed up eventually, and he was okay. But Tiger Woods, I met him when he was at Stanford at the Happy Gilmore movie.
All right.
There you go.
I'll tweet out the rest of the list. That was my bit. If it sucked, I apologize, everybody. I just figured Ted had some pretty good stories, and...
I enjoyed them.
Story time. I enjoyed it.
If Joe's listening, he always busts my balls about stories. He has as many stories as I do.
That's right. All right. We got a quarterback competition, it sounds like, down in camp. And we'll get into that coming up next year on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's the first time we've actually gotten into any football talk today. But, you know, Ted and I work on the weekends. We do a Sunday show now. 9-1 on Sundays. And we basically decided this week that there really will be a quarterback competition at camp this week. This year. I mean, I think we agree, Ted.
I don't know if I would phrase it that way. It looks that way. You know, it's going to, I'll say it this way for me. It is going to have the appearance of a quarterback competition, I feel, in training camp based on what we saw in minicamp, Joe. My feeling is Bill's already made up his mind. However, there will be the appearance, I believe, based on what I saw at minicamp and heard at minicamp, that there will be an actual quarterback competition, at least it'll look like a competition, come this training camp in a few weeks. Because I think Mac Jones did enough to kind of basically force Bill Belichick's hand to have to maybe give him more meaningful reps in training camp. I think Bill's going to have to seriously consider giving him more reps to see if he can pick it up and that maybe, who knows, have his mind changed and maybe start the kid week one. Because if he doesn't start week one, Joe, I don't think he starts all year. I think it's either you start him week one or else, unless Cam, of course, gets hurt, then it makes the decision very easy for Bill. But if Cam doesn't get hurt, I don't think Mac Jones sees the field at all this year unless it's to start the season.
Well, when it comes to reps, right, we've seen right now that it's Cam Newton first. It is Mac Jones second, Stidham, Hoyer. Like, that's the lineup, and at least that's what it was at OTAs. We thought Cam might miss some time with that thumb injury. He came back. Yeah. He didn't throw well. I'm going to be honest. From some of the video that I saw, he didn't throw well. The reports from Mike, from Reese or Sosa, even Phil Perry, Tom Curran, guys like that, he wasn't throwing the ball well. The most accurate was Mac Jones, even though a lot were checked.
But he had a really good last day of minicamp. Your overall point is accurate. It's true. Like he was not throwing the ball well. But it's funny how the last day of minicamp, he happens to have a good day, and everybody's like, oh, there, you know, Cam's back.
Yeah, all right,
but no, but overall, you're absolutely right. He was not throwing the ball well.
The biggest story is, how does Cam Newton handle everything? Does he, oh, there's a nice throw by Mac. Is he going to be encouraging for Mac Jones? Is he going to be off in the corner being a little upset he's not getting the attention? Like, that has to be the storyline, right? Like, we talk about body language all the time, and I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to like think of like a Patriots player that had really bad body language.
Terry Glenn.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Terry Glenn didn't have the best body language.
And like I mean, you know,
but,
like
but
this is the quarterback we're talking about. Like, just like a pitcher in baseball. If you everyone hated John Lackey here. Had the worst body language. Call out players if they missed stuff, and it showed on the mound. If he was struggling, he struggled for the day. But at practice, like, if you're upset that someone might be getting more reps, or it's doing better than you, and oh, here's the coat. But Parcells used to ring you guys all the time. And even the Wally Pipp stuff from Belichick, you know what I mean? Like, that stuff's real at camp.
So let's just talk about the 3 days of minicamp last week. Monday, mixed reviews with Cam. Not great. It seems like Mac Jones had a better day. Day two of minicamp last week, Cam Newton goes in the tank. He's terrible. They give more reps to Mac Jones. Mac Jones wins the day. Reports are Cam Newton's body language was bad, that he was off by himself, that he didn't have the energy, that he was maybe sulking. And then the third day of minicamp, he comes back and has a great day, and he's chancing, and he's got energy again. Just in that little snippet, those 3 days of him going up and down, Cam Newton, I think is what Bill Belichick is terrified of happening in training camp. But this is you made your bed, you got to sleep in it now, Bill, because Cam, hey, all that great energy and positive energy that Bill freaking loves, there's a downside to that when things don't work out. And if you remember early in his career, what was he known for? He was known for, this guy's never loses anything, and when he does, he doesn't know how to handle it. That's still in him. And now, the let's face it, the variables have changed from last year to this year. He came in last year, and he was the guy. It was clearly he was the guy. Now he's got competition, and he's got a hand thing, and he's fighting the demons from last year. Mentally, is he going to be able to handle it? I think we're going to hear a lot of reports of up and down Cam, and you don't want that in a player. And Bill, I think part of the problem is with Bill, coddled him, favorite, showed favoritism, supported him so much that now he's got to deal with the emotions that comes with Cam's disappointment, and he's got to be able to regulate that and keep him up and positive if things aren't going well.
I'm curious if Jones does win the competition. Could Cam handle a backup role? What would they do with Stidham Hoyer in that case? And something we brought up briefly yesterday, Robert Kraft's been at practice a lot, and we know about the different offseason. Just to throw some things out there, Bill Belichick this week mentioned the weather when it came to players being there. He mentioned that he doesn't take attendance, just to give some quotes that happened this week. And it blows Ted's mind up because that stuff never happened when he played here. These things never happened, and you think that there's a different Bill Belichick. And where I'm going with it is that now that Robert Kraft's around, he's going to be at practice too now, watching this competition.
It's fascinating. I love it. I'm really excited about this football season. Clearly, there's more compelling storylines. There's just more to watch. It's just way more interesting. This football team, the Patriots, are going to be this year as opposed to last year. And I think this has been a wild offseason for the Patriots. I really do. I mean, let's face it. There's things that you're seeing Bill Belichick coach and do things in ways in which he never had done before. He's talking about Stephon Gilmore not being there at the first day of minicamp, mandatory minicamp. And he's talking about weather, and he's talking about not taking attendance. That's insane. Bill Belichick, I don't know. I don't know who's here, who's not here. Are you kidding me? You know exactly where everybody is at all times. So that was interesting that he was covering for a guy. He's never done that. Never done that. So it leads to begs the question, why? And I think Bill has changed how he's had to coach. Now that Tom's gone, you can't basically be the hard-o coach that you've always been because you don't have Tom to save your bacon. The ecosystem with Tom there. He kept it all together. Now that Tom's not there, Bill has to be very careful. He can't be the hard-o and make decisions and be that kind of cold, emotionless coach he's been in the past if he wants guys to buy in. There was a third of the team that was not there at OTAs. Bill Belichick, if guys don't show up for OTAs, he has a disdain for them historically. Disdain for them. I can speak from experience. You don't show up for OTAs, even though it's voluntary, that pisses Bill off, okay? And there was a third of the guys that weren't there. They spent more money than you've ever seen them spend in this year's offseason, more than 10 years combined. Brought Brian Hoyer back, brought Cam back, Hightower's coming back, Van Noy's coming back, Matt Patricia is back, Ernie Adams retiring. It is like so many things are going on with this team, and Bill is so – he's just, I think, a different coach, and he feels like he has to be to get guys to buy in, and I think he hates it, Joe. I think he absolutely hates it, but he's doing it because he knows he needs a positive Cam Newton. He needs guys to – to buy into what Cam's doing. And so he props Cam up. I don't think he means half the stuff he says about Cam. I really don't. But he needs him to be up and positive and buying in so that everyone else will buy in, because that's what Tom used to do. And now Tom's gone, and he needs someone to fill that role that Tom used to have.
Speaking of a buy-in, Stephon Gilmore was not at camp this week. A little nugget came out with overnight from our good friend Jerry Thornton over at Barstool Sports. We'll share that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And that's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so I'm reading on Twitter last night. I had a tough time sleeping. You know, knowing you have to wake up at 4:30. Kept looking at the clock all night. And then I see a tweet from Jerry Thornton, Barstool Sports, and he says that he has a source told that Stephon Gilmore is on a flight to Boston. I can't confirm he's coming to sign an extension with the Patriots.
Wait, is there a mandatory minicamp today or tomorrow that I didn't know about? What's he coming back to Boston for?
But sounds like maybe he's on an airplane. Maybe he's coming.
Do you have the tweet? Can you read it? Or
I'm reading from Jerry here. People, you know how it works nowadays, where people are on an airplane and they see somebody take a picture with them, whether it's on Snapchat or whatever, and Instagram, and they post it. But somebody said, hey, I'm on a flight from Charlotte to Boston, and Gilmore happens to just be on this flight. Here's a photo of it.
Well, he does have a house here.
Okay, that could be it. All right, so there you go. I mean, hey, that's why we got you here.
Okay, but let's just go with this. If he was on a flight from Charlotte to Boston, and it is, what, June 21st, chances are it's to... God, you know, I don't know. I could sit here and say have a face-to-face with Bill to negotiate. He doesn't negotiate contract. You don't need to be here in Boston to talk contract. So that is kind of interesting.
Well, other guys are working out here. Trent Brown, we're reading about, is working out here.
Trent Brown, boy.
Big boy.
He is drinking the Kool-Aid, that kid.
He wants that contract, bro.
He took a pay cut to come here. And he was traded away because he wanted too much money. The Patriots didn't want to pay him. He goes and gets his money from the Raiders. And then they don't want to pay him anymore, so they trade him back here for less money. And now he's like, the Patriots are the greatest thing ever. And he's trumpeting the Patriots like he's, you know, been here, drafted here. And so he is all in, Trent Brown. He is bought in to the Patriot way.
But Jerry Thornton's piece here, he goes, I'm no journalist. I've not been educated on the standards for when you can report a thing. I'm just a guy with a cigar breath, and I'm just trying to connect the dots here. I see a picture of one of the best quarterbacks of this generation coming to New England. He's re-signing. So he's given...
That was his opinion.
That's his opinion there. Okay. Which is great about Barstool.
What do you think about Stephon Gilmore? Is it a big deal to get him here? Not really. Can you live without him?
Yeah. It's huge. Just takes up half the field, man. It makes J.C. Jackson a better player. It makes your secondary better. And then the defense this year, the way that they get a better pass rush, he's just and at the number that he has, like, it's just worth giving him the money that he wants. He deserves it. I mean, I know they gave him the bump last year. The thing is the injury. That's the thing. The Patriots are like, well, dude, we gave you a bump last year. You signed the deal. Like, yeah, $7 million low, but, dude, we don't know what you are right now. You tore your quad. Like, let's talk it out, you know?
There's the conundrum. It's funny because the Patriots are probably – I can hear Bill's like, well, we don't know what you look like. We need you to get in here. And Steph's like, no, you don't. You know what I can do. I'm fine, Bill. And – Hey, come in and participate in mandatory minicamp in good faith, and we'll get a deal worked out. Yeah, sure, Bill. Yeah, here's your minicamp. I got your minicamp. So he didn't show up. And I think this is going to be a fascinating storyline because does Bill give in? Has Bill given in? Do you remember of any player in the past, Joe, where there was a bit of a Patriot player and the Patriots came at an impasse over a contract, and that the player actually got the deal he wanted?
Logan Mankins?
Logan got shipped to Tampa. He held out. I think he came back maybe week 10. I can't remember. He played at the end.
And Will Fork had that extra year.
Boom.
Okay.
I think
Will Fork didn't want to play the fifth year.
But I feel like Vince leveraged himself and to a point where Bill acquiesced to his demands. I think part of that was PR, and he had the support of Mr. Kraft. But that's the player I was thinking of. There's not many that have publicly kind of held out, made it just, you know, known that they wanted more money and the Patriots actually gave in. I feel like Vince is the only guy. So he doesn't have a history of giving in these situations.
One thing I wanted to mention about Gilmore, Mike Reese had in his notes this week that he wants to stick around. He's happy being a Patriot about Stephon Gilmore.
Hey, you know, how does Mike know that? Did Mike talk to Stephon Gilmore?
I don't know.
I read that too. It's like, Mike, how do you know? Seriously, because I feel like part of this, and I'm sorry, but Mike gets a lot of his info from the Patriots. I feel like the Patriots they're trying to keep this story down. They don't want this to be a big story.
And that story is the Trent Brown stuff about also about working out hard. So,
oh, dude.
Where do you think that came from? And then there is a little note there about Jonnu Smith.
Well, Jonnu Smith's an interesting. You know what? If you want to really not impress Bill Belichick and you're a new free agent, don't show up for the voluntary OTAs. And then when you are here for the mandatory minicamps, don't pull your hamstring the first day. That is the coup de grace for Bill right there.
You know who got pumped? Devin Asiasi.
Devin Asiasi. Oh, watch out for Devin Asiasi. It's so true.
He's also in this article.
That is so true.
And
is Reese pumping up Asiasi?
Do you know who's not in this article though? Chase Winovich.
Where the F is Winovich?
Number 50 is being worn by a quarterback, a rookie quarterback.
Dude.
Nobody knows where Winovich is.
Where's Winovich? I think Winovich is a big enough kind of, I think he's a good enough player to warrant curiosity and guys asking. I didn't hear anybody ask Bill Belichick about Chase Winovich. Where the hell is Chase Winovich? Is he hurt? Everybody's saying he's hurt. Somebody will tweet at you, I'm sure. Well, he's hurt. Okay, yeah. I haven't seen a report. I haven't heard anybody comment about
somebody
it.
Somebody did tweet me, oh, they heard that he was injured. I don't have anything.
Nothing.
I'm like, can you send me a link?
I just think that, okay, where's Winovich? Where is Chase Winovich?
Why is Mac Jones wearing 50? Like, isn't that Winovich's number?
It is.
It's just, I don't know, something weird to me with that. And I used to never take, because a lot of players with 90 guys, you wear the same numbers. I know, it's just. Why is he wearing 50?
Well, get ready. I mean, your mind's going to be blown with all the new number changes this year.
Oh, that's right.
So it's going to be.
Tom Brady doesn't like that.
But you're right. I you know what's funny? I never thought of that. I'm like, yeah. That's Chase. You're right. That is Chase's number.
Anyways.
But nobody. And I asked a couple guys that are on the beat about Witt and Chase, and they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, does anybody care? Can anybody. Are people afraid to ask Bill where Winovich is?
We'll find out, right?
Man, we'll find out.
We're going to find out soon.
Yep.
I'll get the final hour of the Ted and Joe show. Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champions here. I'm Joe Murray, Billy Lanny, Nick Jamelli. We are all here until 10 o'clock. We'll give you the headlines here, and we'll look into more of this toxic situation happening with the Celtics after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.